So, Father, we just come to you tonight and another night of fellowshipping and just coming together. And we just praise you for all you're doing in our lives. We just thank you for this time and this tool where we can just be in one accord. And we just thank you for everybody that's in the room. We just ask you to bless them tonight. And just allow us all to bring forth what's on our heart tonight, to share your glory and your praise and your testimonies. And we just thank you for that. And we just pray just a blessed night. We just pray that the equipment will work perfectly tonight. There'll be no interference, no issues. We just bind the enemy, principalities and powers, from just bringing any distractions. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's go ahead. And is there anybody? I know Wade and Jeanette need to be muted. Is there anybody else that needs to be muted? Leona? Okay.
Linda needs to be muted.
Okay, Linda. Gotcha. And that's star to unmute for anybody that is muted as far as that. Kurt, do you need to be muted?
No, I'll be quiet.
Okay. You better behave yourself tonight. So, all right, let's just go ahead and see if anybody needs prayer or has anybody they want to pray for. Let's go ahead and open it up to prayer like we usually do. Anybody?
Can we pray for Sandy? I was over there this afternoon, and she's battling a lot of those symptoms and stuff that are trying to come back on her, and Jeff is getting worried, so we probably need to pray for the both of them.
Okay. So, Father, right now, we just we put all our faith together for Sandy, and Lord, you know what's going on as far as, you know, with her. And we just come against these false symptoms right now. We just forbid them in the name of Jesus. We just call just total healing into her body, total restoration into her body, total manifestation into her body. We just thank you. We just rebuke the devourer, rebuke Satan. We rebuke any curse off her right now in the name of Jesus. We just come against these attacks. Lord, you've given her a gift of dreams, and the enemy doesn't like that, and we just call just a hedge of protection around her right now, and we just thank you for that she is healed, and any difficulties she's having, that you are the comforter, and she is comforted, and we just thank you for that, Lord, and we just thank you for Jeff. Lord, we just ask you to just impart faith into him, Lord, and we just bind up and rebuke fear off him right now in the name of Jesus. We forbid it in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just thank you for just giving him boldness and faith, Lord, and to pray and believe and stay in the rest. So, Father, we just thank you for that, and thank you for blessing them, because they've been a blessing to us. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. All right, anybody else need prayer or want to pray for somebody?
Tim?
Yes?
It's Pamela? Tim. Yeah, it's Pamela. And I would like to pray for the Chamberlain family of northeastern Indiana. They were a homeschooling family with us when we lived there, and they had 12 children. Anyway, Emma, the mother, who was about my age, she died suddenly yesterday. And so we know there are at least 12, you know, children grieving, and, of course, Dr. Chamberlain. And so I would just like to lift up that family. Uh-oh, I'm echoing.
Okay. Do you want to pray?
Well, whatever I can or you can, it's just, but yeah, I'll pray.
Okay.
Okay, so, Father, I don't know any of the particulars, but I just know that, just want to lift up the Chamberlain family of northern Indiana that has lost their wife and their mother, mother of 12 children, children ranging in age from about 15 or 16, maybe on up into their 30s. And anyway, Father, I just pray that you would put your loving arms around that family and you would comfort them and that you would remind those children of Emma's faith, faith that I know that she had since I knew her personally, and that that you would be glorified somehow in this and magnified. I pray that you would use the situation, Father, to draw nearer to many of those 12 children, which is exactly what Emma would have wanted. And so, God, I just pray that, you know, that good would come from this, but that, you know, that you would comfort this large family in their sudden loss. And God, I just pray that, I don't know, it's just, you know, life is so sudden and abrupt. And God, I just pray that you would use the occasion also to remind people to draw near to you while we still can. And I just ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Father, we just thank you for comforting that family and bringing through this time of grief and mourning. And Lord, we just thank you for that, that there's just going to be a blessing that comes out of this, and that's going to be used for your glory. We don't understand it now, but, you know, that it'll shine through, Lord. And we just praise you and thank you and just bless that family in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anybody else have anyone they want to pray for or any prayer they need?
Hi, Tim.
Michael here?
Yeah, I had a friend of mine text me today about a friend of theirs that lives in Harrisburg, Arkansas, and I'd like to go ahead and pray for them if I could.
Okay.
Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I lift up the DeVry family at Harrisburg. I don't know which one it is, but one of them has been diagnosed with cancerous brain tumors. Lord, I ask that if they're not saved, that you would grant repentance to them, show yourself to them, Lord, and bring them into the... somebody needs to mute. Bring them into the... grant repentance to them, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, that you're going to heal them too. And, Father, we thank you that this DeVry family would get a hold of you, Lord, because when they get a hold of you, nothing can stop what you do, Lord. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name, that you would just sweep through that family in a mighty, wonderful way, Lord, with healing, salvation, and great miracles, Lord. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We put our faith together with Michael. We just thank you, Lord, what you're going to do in that family. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else? I'm going to pray. Well, okay. I asked Pamela Ward to come on tonight, and she shared a testimony the other night that really blessed me, and I thought it was an awesome move of God. And so I asked her to come on and just kind of share the testimony she shared the other night, and I think it will be a blessing to others. So, Pamela, you want to go ahead and share?
Sure, yeah, but pray for me. Because I just never know. I don't want to say too much because then it gets boring, but you have to say a little bit so everybody understands. But so, yeah, I did get a tremendous blessing the other day, and when I was telling a sister about it, she said, well, Pamela, that was a medical miracle too, because of this and such did not happen, and I didn't even think about that, and so that got me to, you know, thinking and all. So, but it kind of happened out of the blue. I wasn't expecting it. I was kind of chasing the Lord, going after him pretty hot and heavy back in October while I had the chance. And I won't go into all the details, but, you know, I mean, we do different things to run after the Lord, you know, and I was running that way after him, and everything was going really well, and he was showing me this and giving me that promise and this, that, and the other. And but then last week, it was just all of a sudden, I just, like, it was a major, major bump in the road. One day, I just felt so sick all of a sudden. And I noticed it in the morning. I've always been a big coffee drinker since I was actually about 11 or 12 years old. But I just, all of a sudden, that morning, I woke up and just the thought of having even a sip of coffee just turned my stomach. It was just like, gag me, you know, just that. And I thought, oh my goodness, you know, and I started kind of going through everything that I know that we'd had several people absent from fellowship a time or two before that, and supposedly people were vomiting, and supposedly there was this bug going around, and I'm thinking, what's wrong with me? Something's trying to get me, you know, but I kept refusing it. You know, I just don't allow illness or believe illness. You know, that's not a benefit. So I just kind of just kept refusing that. But I was just really just so sick, and just, I felt green around the gills. It was just terrible. I'd never felt like this. And I felt weak, like I could hardly even walk. And the second day, Judy was kind of being my prayer partner through some of this trial that I'd been going through in October. And I asked her to pray for me. And she did and all, but then she said, well, Pamela, this sounds really bad. She said, you really need to get a few more people in on this, on praying. And so I did call a couple of the brethren, and I actually had three of my, you know, assembly come over and actually stop in and check on me, which that kind of blessed me, although I'm thinking, oh, they really didn't need to do that, you know, but so, and I don't mean to be making it a long, drawn-out story, but anyway, this went on for a couple of days of just feeling really, really weak, like I could barely drag around, could barely focus. I left my car lights on once. I mean, I just did a bunch of stupid stuff and felt, like I said, about half nauseous for a couple of two or three days. And when Saturday came around, all of a sudden, I just realized, I thought, oh my goodness, I haven't had a cup of coffee since Wednesday, I think. And then it's like the Lord just kind of downloaded in me. It's like he said, well, yeah, Pamela, he says, I just set you free from caffeine. And I thought, oh, you're kidding me. That really happened, you know? And I woke up, it was either that morning or the very next morning, I woke up completely clear-headed the same minute that I woke up. And this, you know, this was never me. I mean, for me, it's like it takes 2 hours in the morning to drink coffee and feel better, and finally you're focusing, and 2 hours, and then you're as good as new, but it's 2 hours. And so I couldn't believe it, that I woke up that next morning just completely clear-headed and feeling great. And it's really only been about 7 days now, or maybe 5 days, I don't know, since when my body's been completely clear of this. But it's just been such a neat thing. Because, again, it's not anything that I tried to do or set out to do. It's just that the Lord wanted to do it for me. And I just, I was just telling the assembly the other night, I just feel so different. And my phone blips out a lot, so I'm going to just stop right now and say, are you hearing me?
Yeah, we're hearing you.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. So another way that I've been blessed in all this, well, getting back to the whole medical thing, when I was telling this sister, she was saying, well, Pamela, that's just a miracle that you didn't have these severe headaches. And I said, no, I didn't have any headache. I just felt weak, and then I felt some nausea, but mostly just weakness for 2 or 3 days. And then when I was telling the Monday night group, another person that's kind of medically oriented said, and you didn't get the shakes either? You know, no, I didn't have the shakes either. But I had a severe, 50 years of caffeine addiction, and it is gone, poof, whammo. I don't know where it went. The Lord just took it. And another thing that's, I'm still like, wow, I can't believe this is me now. It's like nothing bothers me. You know, it's like, well, like this morning, I thought I had a horse lesson, and I went to the back pasture to get the horse, and, you know, an hour later, I've got me and the horse ready, and then come to find out I didn't get the memo that we were not having class, you know, and it's like, oh, okay, Joey, I guess you're just going back to the pasture. Let's undo all this, you know, but it's like, it's just as if I'm above everything. It's just as if, I don't want to say that nothing matters, because things do matter, but nothing affects me anymore like things used to affect me. Either that, or I would like not want something to affect me, you know, so I'd go to the Lord and I'd say, you know, Lord, help me through this. I don't want this to affect me, blah, blah, blah. But now it really doesn't. It's just, I think that, I don't know, that caffeine addiction had done something to my body where I was just more wired into things than what I wanted to be. And I just feel happy all the time. I mean, even the minute I wake up, it's just amazing. So, yeah, I'm just completely blessed. And I think the thing that's blessed me the most is that I just didn't really expect that. It's like the Lord, it's like a gift. You know, He just took it away. I didn't ask Him. I guess I hadn't even thought to ask Him, because, you know, there's some things that maybe we think, well, this is just me, or this is just too hard, or I don't know. But I don't know. I'm completely blessed by the whole thing. The fact that I did not have all the medical symptoms they talk about, the fact that I just feel like I'm truly, like the Word says now, is living in the heavenlies rather than wired here somehow on earth, you know. And I guess that's all I have to say, but I am very, very thankful to the Lord. He's the best dad. He's the best dad.
Amen. No, when Pamela shared that the other night, she was just so giddy and so laughing. She's like, I don't know this Pamela. I just don't know who I am.
That's
and
true.
It was pretty cute. It was really neat. But you just had such a joy of the Lord on you when you were sharing that testimony, just how you just got set free.
Well,
and while you were sharing tonight, I was just kind of thinking back, is, you know, there'd be times when you would just, I would always see you with a cup of coffee in your hand. You'd show up at a meeting at 7 o'clock at night and be walking in with like a venti coffee, you know?
Oh, I know. I had a severe addiction, and you know it. I mean, everybody in the assembly knew it. I didn't take any pains to hide it, you know. It was just, it was me. It was, well, that one of those lies. I thought that's who I was. And, you know, so that Saturday morning when I woke up and I realized I was caffeine free or whatever, I just thought, wow, you know, I don't know this person. Because, see, you know, when you're a certain way or you have a certain something for 50 years, I mean, it's true, Tim. I don't remember who that other Pamela was. What, I'm supposed to remember that 11 or 12-year-old Pamela? I don't think so. Not when I'm 61, you know? So, yeah, I mean, I'm getting happy again even just thinking about it. Because God is just amazing. It's just, somebody might think like, well, this doesn't seem like that big of a deal. But it is. It is a big deal. And I mean, I'm still exploring all this because, like I said, it's been 50 years and I don't know who this other person is that's emerging. But I can tell you one thing, I feel so much more connected with, it's like, you know, the spirit versus the soul. It's like I can move easier. I can go into the zone of the Lord quicker without this. It's like I'm not hindered anymore or anything. But it's really cool being able to move in and out. And you know what I'm saying. I'm really, really, this is a new adventure I'm on, Tim. So.
Oh, I see. I just see a whole different spirit about you. It's kind of exciting.
Oh, and, well, yeah. Yeah.
And I had an experience years ago, and this is when I was still in the church, and we were, you know, we started, you know, really stepping out in faith and started fasting. But the thing that I hated about fasting was giving up the coffee because of the headaches. And I mean, it was just tremendous, the headaches I would get, you know, just to go into a fast. But I was in the same situation where I'd make a full 10 cup pot of coffee, and it would be, when I make coffee, I make it black and strong, and I put about double the amount of, you know, coffee scoops in there. And I would drink a whole pot before I would even leave in the morning. And then I would stop at Starbucks, and I would get a venti, you know, dark roast coffee for the rest of the ride into work. And then when I got into work, I would, you know, put on a pot of coffee, and I would drink coffee from 5 in the morning till 5 at night. And I would go into a fast, and I would fast off the caffeine. And I remember my secretary calling up Trish and saying, hey, is everything okay between you and Tim? Is there something going on, or, you know, what's going on? You know, she's like, she saw me but didn't know who I was because I wasn't on caffeine, and I was more subdued. I was quiet as to my, you know, whatever it was. But she was like, thought something major. There was a major death in the family, or we weren't getting along, or something like that. But it was just me off the caffeine, and so even now. I mean, I love my coffee, but the Lord has got me in a situation where I can only have, like, you know, 2 cups a day, and I'll get up early in the morning, I'll have a cup, and then I'll usually have a cup, you know, a little bit later on in the day. But if I drink coffee after, let's say, 12, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, when I go to bed that night, I'll sleep for an hour or two, then I'll wake right up. And I'll just be staring at the ceiling. And it just has such an effect on me now where, you know, the Lord has kind of used that to back me down. But sometimes I think about fasting and it hinders me because I know I, you know, in the past it was like it would hinder me because I knew I had to give up that caffeine and, you know, deal with the headache or whatever it was. But I think it's just, you know, it's a miracle that he delivered you from, you know, as much coffee as you drank,
yeah,
took that desire out of you with no, you know, no headaches, no, you know, anything like that. And it just kind of, the other night you were just so giddy and excited. It was definitely a blessing to see that. So it's neat when you see the Lord work through somebody and deliver them from something that you didn't even know you needed delivered from, right?
Right. No, I really didn't, because, again, you know, I don't remember myself at age 11 or age 12. I mean, what I was just what I always was. You know what I'm saying. And mm-hmm. So, no, I didn't know I needed delivered from anything. But, I mean, I'm so glad the Lord knew and that he did it, because, like I said, I know this is just, I still haven't explored the whole thing, but like you said, there's a new spirit there now. Or there's either something gone or something new, or maybe both, I'm not sure. But anyway, I like what the Lord has done, of course. I mean, we always love what the Lord's done. But anyway, so it's exciting, and I'm just really excited about the future, and because God always, you know, he always does good things. He's always up to marvelous things, and so thank you for letting me share this, Kim.
All right, thanks for coming on and sharing. That was awesome.
Bye-bye.
God bless. Yeah, I remember another time I was fasting off of coffee, and I heard this demon just screaming at my head. I mean, he wanted coffee so bad. It was almost like an audible voice, you know, because I used to drink so much coffee. I had this demon just going, "I need a cup of coffee." And it was like I could hear him, like, yelling in my ears. And it was like, whoa. You know, so it's kind of funny, but you know, but the thing is, we can be addicted to, I mean, it doesn't have to be a illegal drug or anything like that. It can be something illegal. You can be addicted to whatever. You can be addicted to food, you know, but coffee is one of those things that somebody said, I read something that if they would have introduced coffee now with the FDA and all that stuff, they would probably, you know, be listed under a drug and be, you know, illegal for consumption over the counter, you know. So who knows? But all right, anybody else have a testimony they'd like to share, or maybe even a testimony about getting delivered from you know, something addictive or something like Pamela, you know, just being delivered and not, you know, not having any repercussions, any testimonies. Yeah, that was something that when I first got saved and born again, I was basically addicted to alcohol big time. I mean, I drank every night, and I was doing, you know, doing drugs, you know, typically on the weekends, but he just took that right out of me. And there was just no desire or anything like that. It was just, it was gone. And there was no, you know, shakes or anything like that. And I was probably drinking at least a six-pack a night as far as that. And it was like one day I was drinking, the next day I wasn't. I was saved, set free, delivered, and it was an awesome, awesome conversion. So, but the Lord did that for me, just like a gift, like he did for Pamela. So, kind of neat. All right, any other testimonies? Anything anybody like to share?
Hello, Tim.
Hey, Stan.
Hi, this is actually Philip.
Oh, okay, Philip.
Yep. How are you?
Awesome. How you doing? We haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, yeah. I don't usually have much to say, but this week had a good testimony.
All right. Let's hear a good testimony.
Okay, well, to back up a little, last month I decided to go on a fairly extended fast, and this is probably the first time in my life I'd voluntarily fasted for more than a day. And we've heard that coming off a long fast, you should sort of ease into the food a little bit. And so I tried to do that for a few days. I had, you know, fruit and vegetables and nothing real heavy. But then Sunday night, I decided to have some chicken noodle soup, and it was too much. And woke up the next morning with a real bad pain in my my back. And wondered at first if it was a kidney shutting down, because we'd heard that that could happen. But I think it was actually a blockage in my intestine. And it was not fun. Of course, I was blocked up and had this pain like I'd never felt before. And basically was just rolling around in agony all morning and early afternoon, taking a break occasionally to throw up. And my dad called David Eales, and he prayed for me. And right away, the pain got a lot better. And then got a little bit worse for a while. And then about the middle of the afternoon, it basically went away completely. And I was healed. Took a couple more days for things to start moving normally. That's happened also.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yep. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Hey, that's an awesome testimony. Thanks for sharing.
You're welcome.
Actually, when you were sharing that, it reminded me of, this is before I came to the Lord. I threw my back out, and I went to a chiropractor, and he was into holistic medicine, or I don't know what he was into, but you know, I went to this guy, and so he ended up telling me that I needed to, you know, the reason I was having issues with my back was because of something going on in my system. And he recommended I do like a fast or something to clean out my system. And I don't remember all the particulars, but it, you know, he had me like just on a little bit of bread and I think some Epsom salt. I don't even know what it was, but I didn't know anything at the time. And I just thought I would do this. So he put me on this fast to, you know, cleanse my system or whatever it was. And during this fast, I end up, and I don't know if it's anything he had me on or anything like that, but during this fast, I woke up. It was kind of like a situation where I played golf at the time, and I was on a league, and I got to the golf course, and I just didn't feel good, and I just decided, well, I'm not going to golf today. And I went home and I just wasn't feeling right. And I ended up going to bed early. And then I woke up and it was like 2-3 in the morning and I was in excruciating pain. And I went in the bathroom. I was throwing up and I was just rolling on the bathroom floor in excruciating pain. And I ended up, I mean, it was to the point where, I mean, it was just unbearable. And I ended up in the hospital, calling an ambulance, going in there, and here my appendix had burst. Oh. And it was, you know, I didn't know the Lord, anything like that, but it was this holistic doctor that was, you know, put me on this cleanse or whatever it was. And during this cleanse, you know, I don't know if it had anything to do with it or it was just coincidental, but it seemed like my body was just definitely rebelling against a fast or whatever he had me on, and I ended up, you know, with my appendix burst and that. But when you're sharing that, kind of reminded me of that, you know, you're just in that pain, and it's like, what is going on? So, but that's awesome testimony. As far as what's that?
When it was happening, I kind of wondered if it was the appendix, but it was on the wrong side. So
okay.
But yeah, it sounded like that's the same symptoms.
Amen. So, Father, we just thank you. You are an awesome, awesome Father, and we just thank you for your just, you're our healer, you're our provider. You just, we just gotta turn to you, Lord, and not to man, and we just praise you for that, Lord. We just thank you for that healing Philip, and that awesome testimony. Just continue to bless him, and in Jesus' name, amen.
I think my mom wants to say something, too.
Okay. Hey, Claudia.
Bye.
Hi.
Hey, Claudia.
Well, needless to say, it was a real trial for all of us, especially for me. He was on such a long, extended fast, and then to just throw up, and his face was so white, and it was just so hard to see him. And I wish I could say that I had 100% faith the whole trial, but that's not the case. But it was kind of off and on. My faith was a little bit wavered. But the first night I didn't sleep very well at all. The second day, I was doing much better, and I was going to make some pillows that day, and when I made the pillows, I made out of scrap material. And when I was sewing it, I realized that it was 17 inches by 17 inches. And so that night I was asking the Lord, well, that's odd, why, it's kind of an odd number. And I thought, that's the number of victory. So I had a real faith that night. So I knew everything was going to be okay. Ended up with better faith. Just want to say that.
No, I know how that is, because we had a fellowship here one night, and we had a bonfire going in the back, and my son went to get firewood, and it was dark, and something stung him right in the vein in his arm, and he was in pain at first, and then that pain went into him. He started to swell up his body a little bit, and he started getting, I don't know if it was hives or something, but, he was having a reaction, and we ended up, and all he wanted was David to pray for him. So we got David, and we prayed, and everything was good. And, my faith was good in that. And then all of a sudden, after we prayed, maybe 20 minutes later, my son comes to me and saying, "I'm having a hard time breathing." Mm. And that fear jumped on me, and it was trying to steal my faith, and I was just trying to fight that fear, as far as that. And but just a little bit of that fear comes in, and it just wants to rip that faith away. So I was really having a hard time standing in faith as far as, getting that fear off me, and eventually just through, prayers and that. And my son was, right after that, all of a sudden he's out playing basketball and he's just trying to move around. And I mean, he was fine, but just that little thing, I'm having a little trouble breathing. It was like that fear jumps on you, and it just steals away your faith. So, it's kind of hard when you see your kids in pain like that, or dealing with something. So I can totally relate.
Yeah.
So awesome. Well, it sounds like the Lord is working a good thing in Philip. What do you think?
Oh yeah. When I was going through this fear coming on me and everything, Satan was putting thoughts in my head like, oh, he could die. This is just awful. And I thought, no, that's not true, because I know he's had a call in his life. I mean, I know it. So I just, it was just 2 days of fighting the thoughts, you know, and I thought, oh, when I saw him, how sick he was, I thought, oh, I just need to call everybody in the world and have them pray for him, you know. And then I thought, no, there's so many people that just don't have no faith, and they would think he should be in the hospital and all these things. And I knew that, you know, if he wanted to go, that was fine. But I didn't want to push that on him either. You know, I wanted to have the faith, and I want him to have the faith too. And it was just a 2 day battle, but the second day was much better. I felt like I was fighting it much better. And then when I went to bed that second night, and I had those pillows already made, and I thought, you know, that's another thing too, because it was not only the number 17 inches square, but it was pillows. Pillows is, you know, a symbol for rest. So I was resting in victory the second night, so that was kind of neat.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a great testimony. Well, thanks for sharing, guys.
You're welcome. Bye.
All right, anybody else have a testimony you'd like to share?
Hey, Tim.
Hey, Michael Montana. How you doing, buddy?
Well, I just thought I'd make an appearance. I drove up on a hunting trip in the wilderness, and a long ways from home. I drove up on a mountain tonight so that I could just make an appearance and say hello to everyone. And the only testimony I have is I think that that scripture in Proverb about drunks has a lot to do with hunters, too. They afflicted me, and I knew it not, yet will I seek it again, you know.
The things you'll do to bag an animal, right?
It's an amazing thing, because I wouldn't, if you were working for $50 an hour, you wouldn't put up with the kind of nonsense you would put up with laboring for the meat that perishes. But, you know, if you were working, you'd say, that's not fair labor practices. This person is, you know, an abusive boss or whatever, you know. But anyway, maybe this is the last elk I'm going to shoot, you know.
Awesome. How long are you going to be out there?
Oh, I got in by 12 in the morning, by 12:30 I was back at the truck. But if I had stopped on the way, I'd have stiffened up and laid down and wouldn't been able to get up. So I just abused myself a little bit. And I don't think any 20-year-old in town would want to do what I did today for $500, so.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, brother. I've been sitting here thinking about it. I mean, it's just amazing. I think it's time to give it up, you know. It's been doing it for too many years. And, you know, I think it's better to go out and buy filet mignon for $20 a pound than what I do.
Yeah.
It's already prepared for you. You just have to throw it on the grill, right?
Yeah, this is a whole nother deal here, you know. Sure. Yep. Actually, that's the most abuse I've ever experienced in my whole life doing anything. So that's amazing.
Well, we convince ourselves, well, it's the fellowship and getting with the guys. And but
it's one of those boy things. They got to prove themselves that they still got something left, you know. They look in the mirror and see it kind of going a different direction, and they think, well, you know, I got to see if I still got it. Well, I don't.
So you, because last year you just prayed and it showed up on your front lawn, didn't it?
Well, that was a deer. Yeah, the elk were a little more suffering involved in elk. And
okay.
I went miles and miles and miles and tracking these in a foot of snow. When I finally caught up, I thought, do you really want to do this, you know? Because I knew I was a long way from nowhere. And so, you know.
So did you get an elk?
Yeah, I did. But tomorrow it's got to be retrieved, so there's more suffering involved, you know.
So now you got to get it back to the truck, right?
Yeah, I'm hoping I can pay a fella to help me with this machine, you know.
awesome.
Yeah.
Boy, the things
anyway,
we do.
I just wanted—I drove up on the mountain just to make an appearance and say hello to you, dear people.
Okay, well, we appreciate you coming in and sharing your misery with us.
That is a truly peculiar kind of affliction you're suffering.
Yeah, I kind of think of that scripture: "Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." You know.
That's funny. Well, Michael, enjoy the rest of your trip, and you'll have to give us the rest of the story on Tuesday.
Yeah, amen. Well, I trust the coyotes will leave it alone for the night. And I'm going to pray that way.
Amen. We'll believe with you.
So, but anyway, you dear people, bless you very much, and the Lord encourage you. I have to go back down the mountain, but I just thought I'd drive up here and say hello. So.
All right. We love you, man. Thanks for checking in.
I was out there. It was probably 10 degrees, and the wind was blowing 45 miles an hour. It was really fun. So.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Michael here can't even relate to that.
No, I'm in here at 85 degree weather in my room, and that's the way I like it.
I told Michael I was going to hike out in the wilderness and sleep out there overnight while I was here. And the guy that runs the ranch, he looked at me and said, "You're out of your mind. You couldn't. You'll be a popsicle in the morning, you know. You can't do that, you know." And it's a good thing I didn't. But I just thought I was a little tougher than I was.
Oh, man. Well, go get some rest. And so, Father, right now we just lift up Michael. We just thank you for just giving him rest, Lord, just revitalizing his body. Just giving him strength and just give him, you know, protection over that elk tonight and favor getting it out of the woods tomorrow, Lord, and just allow it to be a blessing. We just thank you for him in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep him safe.
Thank you, dear brother.
All right, man, we love you. Good night.
Good night.
All right, who else has got a... testimony or anything in their heart they'd like to share tonight? Yeah, we had last night. It was kind of nice here, and a group of us. My son's got a projector, and we tied up a tarp between a couple of trees, and he got out the projector and some big speakers, and we got our chairs, and some people brought popcorn, and it was like being at a drive-in theater. We're sitting out there in the middle of the, you know, I mean, there's not a cloud in the sky at one point, just looking up at the stars, and one of the guys saw a shooting star, a huge shooting star come through the sky, and we're sitting there watching some Christian movie, Do You Believe, or that, and there's probably 10 or 12 of us out there. It was just kind of a neat, blessed night we had. So it was a lot of fun. But, kind of enjoying a little break in the weather we're having here. Oh, I do have a testimony. I did talk to Garrett today. And he's saying that they're going to be releasing Jimmy next week. And he's going to be going home. And he's making a tremendous turnaround, tremendous healing. I mean, he's just excited about what the Lord's sparing his life, and he's just got a total joy on him. So I asked Garrett, I said, "You're gonna have to get him on in the, you know, in the future to share that testimony." So, and Garrett was all, I mean, he was all keyed up and excited sharing it. He just saw that it was just a total answer to his prayer. He was just crying out to the Lord that he can't take Jimmy. He doesn't, you know, he's not right with you. And he just saw where the Lord just in faith just, you know, just spared his life. So it's just an awesome testimony where, I don't know, I think he was dead for 30 minutes or so. Right, Michael?
Yeah, at least 35 minutes.
So we prayed, and the Lord, you know, brought him back, and the hospital was giving up on him, and we just started praying against the symptoms, and the Lord, you know, was just taking care of him one at a time, and now he's going to be out next week, and that's just an awesome testimony of how cool our Father really is, you know. So I thought that was kind of neat talking to Garrett. So, all right, anybody else have anything on their mind? Any thoughts? Any revelation? Any dreams? Anything they'd like to talk about tonight? Any questions? Let's bring it forth. They're quiet again, Michael.
Yeah. I know. We cut wood all day. Pull down trees and cut wood.
So are you worn out too?
Well, I'm kicked back right now. Not worn out, no. I feel like a 20-year-old.
Awesome. Awesome.
Calling those things that are not as though they were.
All right. Well, I got...
I can relate to something.
All right.
Well, we've been getting some warnings about another attack, and you know, God is so cool. He is so awesome. He'll tell us about the warnings, and then he'll win the fight for us. All we've got to do is believe, and that's the awesome thing about walking this walk that the Lord has got us on. When the Lord tells us that there is an attack coming, well, we go into attack mode. We go into the offensive by casting down the powers that be and binding them up and all of that. You know, that's no big deal. It's a big deal, but don't get me wrong, but it's nothing physical that we do. We just pray. And we believe, and then the Lord tells us we've got the victory, you know, and it's just awesome what God's teaching us and what he's showing us, that all we have to do is pray and believe. And when we pray and believe, he casts down our enemies. He binds up our enemies. And matter of fact, he puts them on the run. He scatters them. And he puts them on the run, and he's been doing that. We've been watching him do that for, gosh, 4 years now. We started out, we were kind of green behind the gills, all of us were, and then we learned that, you know, if we go on the offensive here, just in the last couple of years, we've learned to go on the offensive. And when the Lord warns us, we got to heed those warnings, and when we do heed those warnings, boy, we do. We go into attack mode and prayer mode and intercessory. And the Lord just he tells us, you know, well, you've got the victory. So it's an awesome walk that he's got us on. And I just wanted to praise him and thank him for giving us those warnings and then telling us that we've got the victory. And it's just awesome. Thank you, Tim.
Amen. Yeah, that is awesome. When and a lot of these warnings come through dreams or come through words people are getting, but a lot of times it's a dream, and you know, he'll give us dreams as a warning, and you just got to take heed to it and pray, and you'll that's really what's been going on. It's just getting into spiritual warfare.
Well, another thing also, Tim, is logging everything. If you log it, you can see what God's telling you. You know, if you somebody gave you a dream, okay, let's put that down. That's a dream. And then he'll confirm it with a word, or he'll confirm it with another dream or whatever. And you put those down and say, okay, here's what God's telling us. We need to do this. And so we'll go into prayer mode and pray. We'll date it and we'll pray. And then next thing you know, we've got the victory. And it's awesome. I mean, it's just, it when he tells us, it's just a day or two later that we start getting words that the victory has been won. And that's when we first started out, you know, we had failure here and there, but now we don't have any failure because we understand this spiritual warfare business now, and it's integral in the fellowship, and it's ingrained in the fellowship, so that's what God's been teaching us, because we're going to need it here in the days to come. Going to have intercessory prayer almost 24/7, you know, in the days to come. So that's what he's teaching us.
Amen. Excuse me. No, that's good. I just started. I mean, if you can have a journal or and log stuff, my wife Trish is amazing at it. I mean, she is constantly writing down what the Lord is showing her, writing down her dreams. You know, if she asks for a word, she writes it down as far as what the Lord gives her. And she's able to go back months when, you know, sometimes the Lord will give us a dream and it's a warning that's, you know, months down the road or something like that. and she'll get dreams and she'll write them down, and at the time they don't make a lot of sense. But three or 6 months later, all of a sudden something happens and somebody in that dream or whatever the situation was, and all of a sudden, you know, she looks that dream back up, and then all of a sudden, you know, she's able to start putting together what the Lord was showing her. And it's kind of neat as far as, and the other thing is kind of neat is I go in and out of journaling, and I just started it back up as far as, the Lord's got me in a place right now just seeking him on some things and some directions so I just been, you know, just kind of getting quiet with him and asking him to kind of guide me, and I'll open up the word and start reading, and I'll see what kind of, you know, what I feel the Lord's trying to show me, and I'll write it down, or if I ask for a specific word, I'll write that down. Or And I don't get many dreams, but I'm believing that the Lord's going to be giving me more dreams, so I'm praying for that. But I just started to do more journaling, but the neat thing is I picked up a journal that I was journaling in, and when you go back and you read some of the answered prayers and you see some of the, you know, some of the things, it's kind of neat to go back and read what you're writing a year ago, and looking back a couple years and then seeing where you were there, where your faith was, and then maybe where your faith is now. And so you just, because sometimes we can't see the growth in ourselves. We can see the growth in others, but sometimes when you journal and you go back, you say, oh yeah, wow, that's where I was at, or I was dealing with that, or that was in my life, and I've been set free of that. Or it's kind of neat, you know. You can see the growth a little bit more than, you know, just kind of, you know, looking back in the natural. So if anybody, you know, I just see it as a neat tool as far as to kind of, you know, track, you know, what God's doing in your life and that. Because I knew in the beginning I was doing that, and you know, the enemy would just start beating me up, and I'd be able to go back to that and see the answered prayers and see the things that God had done. And just to, you know, sometimes when I was in that pit of, you know, confusion, or in that pit of self-pity, or in that, you know, condemnation, I could go back to that journal and look back at, you know, answered prayers and some victories and some different things that would help me to kind of pull out of that. So I'm trying to get more diligent in writing those things down. So I don't know if anybody else journals or has any testimony on that. Any thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I know it, at times it's been hard for me to write that stuff down because I always got something else to do, you know. And it's always been a struggle for me to journal, to put things down in a journal. But I understand now how necessary it is because of just what you said there. We can look back and look through those battles that we won and see how what we did and learn from them and go on and do it again, you know. So, yeah, it's a necessary. It's really neat, like you said, to go back and see the dreams or the words that the Lord has given you over the years for certain people that you've run across or family members or whatever. And seeing how God worked through those prayers and words that he gave you and how they came to pass and how long it took and that kind of thing. Yeah, it's pretty neat. It's just, it's a discipline.
Hey, Michael?
Yes, ma'am.
This is Leona. I have a kind of a good tip. What I do is when the Lord impresses something really strong on me, I just encapsulate it into keywords, and I put it in the subject matter, and I email it to myself. So when I go into my email box, it's the first thing I see in bold caps, what the Lord worked in me on that day as far as feeding me a revelation. It's just to remind me of what the Lord said to me last, because the enemy kind of likes to trip you up kind of where you're at right now with the Lord. But I say, okay, the Lord, this is where you put me last, and this is where I still am. And when he's done working that revelation in me, then I just delete it out of the, you know, and move progressively forward depending on what he's feeding me for the day. So that's worked pretty good for me. But I've gotten to the habit where I'm not depending on what he said last so much anymore, because he kind of played a little trick on me, but I thought it was kind of clever. And this was some time ago, but I woke up one morning and I couldn't, it was if I was in a brain coma of some kind. Nothing was coming in, nothing was going out, and it wasn't disappearing or nothing. And I had to believe it was spiritual. And at first, I kind of panicked. I said, "Where am I? What was the last thing that I remember?" You know, and it wasn't coming to me. And then I said, "Wait a minute! No! Don't take it away. Leave it there, because you just got to live by faith. Because if you live so much according to your last, you know, what you heard, then you're kind of getting tripped up with that too. You can't depend on, you know, what was said or where you're at. You just have to know that, you know, it's the love of Christ that's holding you. And you don't need to know anything, you know, but the fact that you're loved, and it's by his power that we're standing and causing and willing and moving through us. So those are a couple of things that kind of really work for me, and I just thought I'd throw them out there.
Amen. No, that's a great idea. So you can, you know, just, you've got those in a permanent record, and, you know, you can put them, you know, I don't know if you put them in a separate file, so you can go in there and see the dates and the promises or whatever he showed you.
I do.
So
when I feel like he's worked them into who I am, I just kind of let him go, because, you know, I want a fresh word, you know, and so I just kind of encapsulate what I feel like he's impressing me. And it was working pretty good, but mostly I just, you know, if it all just empties out of my mind and I don't know where I'm at all of a sudden, I don't worry about it because I said, well, Lord, you know where I was last, and your love's got me, and pretty much it's just according to your faith, so be it unto you. And I just believe in thy kingdom come, thy will be done upon me. I am a manifestation of the kingdom of God come in the flesh. So I have to let the power of God hold me in that revelation, you know. So there wouldn't be any way that I could hold it anyway. So I just kind of rest in the love of the Lord. And when you got the power of God holding you right where you're at, I don't think the devil wants to touch that because he's up against God, you know.
Amen.
We don't worry.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing. Yeah, I know that something else. I know that Trish has done, and I think David does, and a few other people, is when they ask a specific word for themselves, and you know, they're just by faith, you know, opening and getting a word or whatever, that she'll underline whatever, you know, where her finger pointed, and then she'll put a date next to it. And sometimes when the Lord brings you back to that same word 2, 3, 4 times, and then you look back at what you were asking at the time and the direction or whatever it was, all of a sudden that puzzle is put together, and you see what the Lord has really, you know, been trying to get your attention on. So that's another thing I've seen, you know, different people do as far as that. So that's awesome.
Hey, Tim?
Yes, sir?
I found a neat little journal I started using here a while back. Is in eSword, and it's called My Journal. And it goes by the day, and you can put anything in there you want to during that day, and it'll file it on the day, that date, and then you can go back if you'd like and copy it and paste it into Microsoft Word and have your journal in there, you know. It's just a neat little item that eSword has added to their software. I like it. I utilize it.
Amen. Yeah, I love eSword. Whenever I open up the Bible, when I do a Bible study, I'll open up my computer and I'll open up eSword. And I've never used the journal aspect or anything like that, but sometimes, like what I'll do most of the time is if the Lord is showing me something, I'll just start dropping the scriptures into eSword. And they've got a little thing where you can actually name them and, you know, create a, you know, I don't know what it's called, but it's like a little study or something. But, you know, it's really easy to you know, cut and paste scriptures as you're reading along and put stuff together. Sometimes I'll read an article on something and they'll have a few scriptures in there, and I'll kind of use those scriptures or the idea of what they're sharing with me, and I'll just kind of get into a Bible study and start just putting down ideas and stuff like that. And that's, you know, a lot of times that's what I do, is I just kind of, you know, I start in one area and I just start building and see where the Lord takes me. And, you know, and that's usually, you know, when I get into these little studies and stuff like that, I never know where I'm going to end up, you know. So I always do it, you know, I start off in the Word, and I'll use eSword just to, because a lot of times I just, when I'm reading, I'll go back and I'll look into the Strong's and I'll use eSword for that, and I'll look up the meaning of certain words. And when you read the meaning, it really changes a lot of times, you know, the interpretation or what, you know, what you're getting out of it. You just get more depth from it. So I enjoy, you know, when I'm into something, is just kind of look up some of the different words, because in the English, you know, there might be five different Hebrew words and they interpret them all the same in English, but they all have a little bit of a twist of the meaning or something like that. So I don't know, from time to time I like to use a tool like that just to get into a deeper study, deeper meaning as far as that. And for me, it's a lot easier to do it with my laptop than to have a bunch of, books piled up and stuff like that. So I do use eSort quite a bit. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, that's a fantastic tool, that eSort. I like it too. I utilize it a lot myself.
And I got it on my phone now. Even lately, I've been starting to pull my phone out sometimes in the evening studies or something like that. And it's real easy. David says, go to Ephesians, 3 and 14. It's just real easy to just, on my phone, it's just right, go right to that. And, you can scroll through and stuff like that. So trying to get with some of this technology. I know some people have got the tablets and they've got eSort on their tablets and on their Kindles and that. So it just makes it a little bit easier not flipping through pages. And sometimes when David is teaching, he's throwing one scripture, next scripture, next scripture. And, and it's just sometimes with the electronics, it's just, you can really, get there a lot quicker than, getting lost in the pages. So I kind of like that. All right, anybody else? Any thoughts, any revelations? Well, speaking of eSword, this is kind of an example, but I was reading an article on something, and I kind of got into a Bible study, but the article was, was basically on becoming like Jesus. And what I'll tend to do is they might say something in an article, and then I'll look at something, and in this article, they were really talking about the church. But when I read the article, I just kind of went more religion than church. And then I just kind of went into more depths, and they were just really saying on, what the church wants to get you to think. And I kind of expound on that and take it to a deeper level. And so what I wrote is, religion tells us what to do and what not to do. Religion tells us how to act, and for me it was how to dress, because everybody, when you went to church, everybody was, dressed a certain way, and you wanted to fit in, and I saw where religion, tells us or teaches us how to pray, and how to speak like Christians, to kind of get that Christian lingo going, how to evangelize your neighbors, how to try to get them into the church, how to manage your money. And I was seeing that it's really based on behavior and works. And a lot of people find that difficult to conform to. And where true Christianity, what we're trying to walk in tells us what to become and how to become it. It's really Christ in you, the hope of glory, which, places religion and true discipleship poles apart. I mean, they're on the other end of the world. And I was seeing that in order to, arise above this religious spirit, that we need to see what God requires of us, in a different aspect. And, we know that religion tries to get you under the law, and, God kind of laid out the Old Testament, it was kind of a law for to keep us in a moral and ethical, standard. And the people, that were under that law found it very difficult, to adhere to. And So God had the animal sacrifice for sin and all that stuff, but religion tries to bring us back under that law. And Jesus said that he came to fulfill the law, And, you know, that's it's a whole different covenant. And, you know, he's basically fulfilled the law through the cross. As Matthew 5:17 says, I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. And I was just really seeing where the purpose of our redemption is to make possible our true calling, and that is to become like Jesus. And this is our high calling, and really should be our goal in life. And it's not by doing like the law, but becoming. So we got to get out of the doing and the works and start looking at becoming, because it's not by works, it's by manifestation. And we really can't become like someone unless we know what they're like. And you know, what is God like? You know, what is Jesus like? And that's really where we got to study out the scriptures. And in 1 John 1:5, it says, "And this is the message which we have heard from him and announced unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." So he's telling us that God is light. And then in 1 John 4:7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is begotten of God and knoweth God." And in it goes on in 16, it says, "And we know and have believed the love which God has in us. God is love, and he that abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him." So we're seeing that, you know, God is love and God is light. And really, love kind of describes his nature. And, you know, the light kind of describes the spiritual power, the spiritual essence, or that of God. And that God is light, and that light is, you know, I see it kind of as a power source of the universe, light is, you know, the power of God, you know, and you know, just the power of, you know, there's, and everything that's wrapped up in that power is the healing and understanding and revelation and all that stuff. And John 8:12 says, "Again, therefore, Jesus spoke unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And John 12:36, "While you have the light, believe on the light, that you may become sons of light." So we're seeing as God is light, Jesus is the light of the world, and by him and his light, all things, exist. And in Colossians, you know, talking of Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him were all things created, in the heavens and upon the earth, things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things have been created through him and unto him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. So, you know, we're seeing that, you know, God is love. Jesus is love. God is light. Jesus is light. And this is just describing as far as, the nature of God and all that. But so I was really seeing where, you know, everything that God does and is, you know, really motivated by love, because that's who he is. And if we are to become like him, we must become, you know, we must, you know, walk in that love. And religion wants us to become more powerful. They want to have more authority. They want to have more gifts, more anointing. And the focus in religion, as far as their you know, motivation is kind of skewed. And you know, why do we want these things? Because they are the works of the flesh, and the flesh wants more power and more authority and more gifts and more anointing so it can lift up self above others. But if we become love and walk in love, God will give us the power to love. He will give you the authority to love. He will give you the gifts to show love, and he will give you his anointing to love. God first requires us to become love in order to qualify for the kingdom and power of authority. So I was really saying that love is before, yet we need to walk in that love. And you know, then those gifts that he pours out on us are used to edify that love, so we can walk in that love. But when I was in the church, everybody's running after the anointing, everybody's running after the power, you know, and or they're running after the preachers that are, you know, slaying people in the spirit, and they're seeing that, and but there was very little love. It was all lifting up man, it was all lifting up self and stuff like that. But I was just really seeing where, you know, the foundation is really the love, and then those things will come. So if we walk in love, we fulfill all the requirements of the law. As it says in Matthew 22:37, he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second like is this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments, the whole law hangeth and the prophets." So, you know, we've been taught who we are in Christ, but it really should be who he is in us. When Christ came to live within us, he did so in order to live his life through us. What Jesus requires of us is to love the Lord with all our heart, to love mankind as we love ourselves. It seems kind of simple, but it's not. You know, religion has often taught us just the opposite. And we see that, you know, the bad fruit that has been produced, you know, it kind of tears down the lost. It tears down other Christians and their beliefs, all to lift up their works and their doctrines. You know, that's why there's so many sects and divisions in religion. There's no love for God, his word, or their neighbors. You know, it's all, their love is for their pastor, their building, their doctrine, you know, who they are, how big they are, how many there is in their church. I mean, it's all selfish and soulish. And the scriptures make it clear, if we walk in love, we sure, you know, shall be transformed into that image. And 1 John says, "He that loves his brother abideth in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him." 1 John 2:4 says, "He that says, I know him, and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keeps his word, in him verily hath the love of God been perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that says he abides in him ought to himself walk even as he walks." So it says, whosoever keepeth his word, and that word, you know, really it's the word to, you know, love God with all your heart and to love your brothers as yourself. I mean, that's the main commandment there. 1 John 2:7 says, "Beloved, no new commandment write I unto you, but an old commandment which you have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard. Again, a new commandment right unto you, which things is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light already shineth. He that says he is in the light and hateth his brother is in the darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abides in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in the darkness, and walks in the darkness, and knoweth not whither he goes, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So we're taught that he that loves his brother abides in the light, and that light will purify and transform him. When you become love, you become like God, for God is love. When love is pouring through your light, is pouring through you, and that light will transform you. As you learn to love and give love, that will start transforming you into his likeness. 1 John 4 goes on and says, we know that we have believed the love which God has in us. God is love, and he that abides in love abides in God, and God abideth in him. So I've seen that God is bringing forth, you know, many sons in his image and likeness, you know, like Jesus, who is love. And we simply follow the way of Jesus, which is the way of love, by his grace. This transformation begins in our lives. And as we desire to change and become more like him, he begins to become love. As we lose our lives and takes on Jesus' life, who is love, change will occur within us, and God will transform us. All we have to do is abide in the light. And I was seeing where the Pharisees, you know, they were the theologians when Jesus walked the earth, and, you know, they knew the law, studied the law, wrote the law. I mean, you know, they were the authorities of the scriptures. And with all this learning, they didn't recognize who Jesus was. They were so focused on the law and keeping the finest points of the law and all that stuff that they truly missed the Savior. And it's like that today. Some people are just so caught up in this, you know, just their religion and their beliefs and their doctrines that they're really missing the Savior. And John 5 and 37 says, and the Father that sent me, he has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. And you have not his word abiding in you, from who he sent, him ye believe not. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And these are they which bear witness of me, and you will not come to me that you may have life. So, you know, Jesus was saying, you study the scriptures, but you have no word in you. You have not listened to what God has spoken to you, nor see him appear before you. They believed because they had the scriptures, they had eternal life, but they did not know God and come to God that they might have life. They had knowledge, but no truth. And Jesus said, that which comes out of us is that which defiles us. In Matthew 15, but the things which proceeds out of the mouth come forth out of the heart and defile the man. For out of the heart comes forth evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and railings. These are the things which defile the man. So this gives us some insight onto the, you know, the process of change within us, you know, that goes either towards the good or towards the evil. And we, you know, we tend to talk about love and hate as manifestations or just feelings, or, you know, we talk about them as words or, you know, or even desires. but that's not necessarily the case. That love is, you know, it's a power and has a substance. Hate, you know, is a power and has a substance. And the power of love brings light, and the power of hate brings darkness. And Proverbs 23:7 is, for as he thinketh within himself, so is he. So, you know, every thought we have, you know, our words we speak, you know, our, you know, what, you know, our emotions, what emanates out of us, you know, is either light or darkness. You know, your attitude will literally clothe you in light, or it will clothe you in darkness. You know, your emotions of love and joy and peace and kindness and patience and goodness and faith will clothe you in light, or your emotions of anger and clamor and railing and self-pity and fear and unbelief will clothe you in darkness. You can be either defiled by darkness or purified by the light. And it really comes as, you know, as he thinketh within him, so is he. So it's really taking those thoughts captive, taking what we speak out of our mouth. Are we speaking blessings or are we speaking curses? You know, is it clothing us in light or is it clothing us in darkness? Romans 13 says, the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in the reveling and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and jealousy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. So we're told to cast off the works of darkness, every negative, selfish, jealous, angry, unforgiving thought or attitude, you know, cast off self-pity, because all that will clothe us in darkness and lead us to death. And it says, let us put on the Lord Jesus Christ and clothe ourselves in the armor of light, and walk with an attitude of love, kindness, patience, blessed and abundant life. You know, it's basically walking in the Spirit of the Lord, and that the light may glorify him and not us. Where the spirit of religion and works and the laws of darkness, you know, that basically glorifies man. But we just need to walk in the light and glorify him. Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them a garland for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So all of us, you know, we're all walking in a different level of maturity, you know, in the Lord. You know, I just see it as, you know, we're all, you know, I kind of see we're all kind of in a, you know, we're in a non-segregated school that have, you know, from first grade to 12th grade, and, you know, we're all at different steps as far as, let's say, classes in that school, and we're all manifesting a different quantity of light. You know, we're all clothed in different, you know, different shades of that light. And, you know, but it's all based in love, loving, you know, loving each other, you know, seeing everybody where they're at. And that doesn't necessarily be just, you know, the, us and UVM. That's you know, with the other people we know that are, you know, the Catholics and the Baptists and the people around us. I'm really seeing where there's people that are caught up in religion, and a lot of them really love the Lord. And, you know, we just, the Lord has opened our eyes to a deeper level. And we, you know, we want everybody to be at that level, but sometimes if the Lord does not open their eyes, if he doesn't give them a hunger for truth or that, you know, we end up, you know, we just, you know, we try to pull them up and we get frustrated with them or we offend them or whatever it is. And, you know, we just have to have grace for them. And, you know, they're walking in the light that they have. And all we can do is really pray for them and let the Lord open their eyes. And 1 Corinthians 12 says, but desire earnestly the greater gifts, and moreover, a most excellent way show I unto you. And when I looked that up, it said covet earnestly, or envy, or be jealous over the greater gifts. But I have shown you a more excellent way. And really what he's shown us is it's not through, you know, the gifts. It's really through the manifestation of Christ or the light through us, you know, and that all starts in love. And in the Apostle Paul spoke about the possibility of the gifts of the Spirit becoming as a sounding brass and a twanging cymbal, I think he said, and spoke about a better way in that of love. And we can have, you know, we can major on the gifts of the Spirit, but can lack the emphasis in the fruit of the Spirit as the foundation. And, you know, this has kind of produced a shallowness as far as in our, you know, I just see it as kind of a shallowness as far as our springing forth fruit, you know, if we're just trying to major on the gifts without walking in the love. And 1 Corinthians 13 says, if I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And if I bestow all things, all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burdened, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long, is kind, envious not, vaunteth not, it's not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not its own, is not provoked, takes not account of evil. And when you read all this, it's really the love in us, or Christ, you know, the Christ in us. If we look at it that way, let's say that that Christ envies not, that Christ vaunteth not, Christ is not puffed up, Christ does not behave itself unseemly, Christ does not seek his own, Christ is not provoked, Christ takes not account of evil, Christ rejoice not in unrighteousness, but rejoice in the truth. Christ bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endureth all things. Christ never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, and that's the Christ in us, that which is part shall be done away. So, you know, we see that when the perfect come, you know, everything in part shall be done away. 2 Corinthians 13, finally, brethren, be perfected, be comforted, be of the same mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. So we see that that a new seed is coming forth, and it's the Lord's seed in his likeness, and it's a army of people like him who are love, and the people God will entrust with great authority and power, and that power to love the world and to reap the last harvest. Perfecting love pays the way to bring us into the union with the Lord. Ephesians 3 says that he will grant to you according to the riches of his glory, not your glory, that you may be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inward man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, to the end that you be rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled unto all fullness of God. And I was seeing that rooted and grounded in love is becoming stable with a foundation in love, that you may be able to obtain with all the saints to know the love of Christ, which is exceedingly beyond man's knowledge, that you may be filled or perfected unto the fullness of God. And when I read through this, I was seeing that there is quite a few maybes in there, that you may be strengthened, Christ may dwell in your hearts, that you may be strong to apprehend, that you may be filled unto the fullness of God. And those maybes are kind of might statements. You know, it's all based on your obedience. And, you know, we know that our fallen state is kind of unable to be one with the Lord. You know, the flesh is the enemy of God. You know, so this process of change is strictly by faith and grace. You know, as we're reading the Word and that seed is going in us and revelation is imparted, that we understand this process, you know, begins to, you know, to work in us and his way, and we learn to, you know, it tells us to love our enemies and turn the other cheek and all these things. It's just as we start, you know, doing those things, and, you know, it just irritates the flesh because our flesh wants to live, and we start, you know, putting down the flesh, and the more we start doing that, the Lord starts giving us compassion, and, you know, that change starts to occurring in us. So, you know, I was saying we're, you know, by, you know, becoming love, you know, we're exposed to that Spirit of God, and, you know, he starts, you know, transforming us. And, you know, as we, you know, spend time with him, spend time in the Word, as we're fellowship with him, that, you know, we start falling into that same image, you know, of the Lord. And it's really the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And it's really, you know, it's through grace and through our faith that and having a willingness to want to change, having a willingness to want to obey the Lord, that, you know, that he starts working in us. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is liberty. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. also, you know, what it's basically saying that is, as we, you know, become like Christ, you know, we become like that by, you know, basically exposing ourselves to Him through the Word and walking in His truth. And it's really, you know, it's what we focus on. You know, when we, you know, if our heart, our mind, our imagination, our thoughts, all our focus is on lustful things or pornography or, you know, whatever it is, just, you know, we take on that spirit. You know, whatever's behind it, that spirit is imparted into us. You know, so if we're focused and running after lustful things, that spirit of lust comes on us. And James 1:15 says, then lust, when it has conceived, bears sin, and that sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So whatever we focus on, you know, you'll kind of connect, you know, to that, you know, thing. So that applies towards God or towards, you know, the positive. When we focus upon the Lord, you know, opening up our hearts to Him, connecting with Him, studying the Scriptures, wanting to be more like Him, you know, this will start purifying us, and that's, you know, that's purely by grace. And an unveiled face, you know, when we look, it was an unveiled face. You know, I was seeing that, you know, that we're coming to Him without willful sin. We're coming to Him in honesty. You know, we're coming to Him with no pretenses. We're just coming to Him as we are, with our needs and our desires to change, and that it's Him working in us. You know, He just needs a willing vessel as far as that. And 2 Corinthians says, but unto the day whatsoever Moses is read, a veil lieth upon their hearts. But whosoever it shall turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So, you know, this is talking about the Israelites, but it's if their heart truly turns to the Lord will remove the veil. So when you look at yourself in the mirror, you know, you behold Jesus. And this is really by faith. This involves imagination. You know, what you see in the mirror by faith is the Lord in all His glory. And as you behold that image of Christ and you love Him in your heart, you know, you will connect with Him in the Spirit, and He'll begin to, you know, transform you, you know, because that's, I mean, you love Him and you want to be like Him, and He knows your heart, and He'll start working in you. And Romans 12 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Colossians 3 says, set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth. For ye died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall you also with Him be manifested in glory. So I would say, as you walk in the love, in your thoughts, in your actions, in your words, and you desire the light flowing through you, you'll begin to transform in you. And as you spend quality time in the presence of the Lord, just, you know, in His presence, praying, fellowshipping, loving Him, you know, you start to be transformed. And the more time you spend, the more that transformation is accelerated. You know, the more you put Him on the forefront, the more you get the stumbling blocks and the distractions and the things that pull you away from the Lord out of there. And, you spend more fellowship time with the Lord, you know, He will, you know, manifest more in you. So I was really saying it's not works. It's really just just getting your heart right and just running after the Lord and all that He has for you and seeing yourself in that mirror transformed. So that's what I was kind of dwelling on the last day or two, and just becoming more like Jesus, just focusing in on Him and His will in your life, and coming into that image. And really the foundation to build all that on is really the love. And once you've got that love and walk in that love, then He'll pour out the gifts, you know, more and more as far as to be used in the love. So, all right, that's that was what was on my heart. Any comments, any thoughts on that?
No, that was great. Thank you so much, Tim. That was really, really helpful for me.
Amen. All right, I just I love you guys. It's just does anybody else need prayer or anything before we close out? Well, Father, we just thank you for another awesome night, Lord. Father, we just ask that you work in all of us to get a foundation of love, that we can truly walk without conditions. This isn't conditional love. This is just your love. This is your agape love. Lord, just we know that love comes from you, that you are love. And Lord, we know that your love is beyond our knowledge and our understanding. And we know that it is a gift. And Lord, I just ask that you just pour that out into all of us, Lord. Just allow us to walk in that, in those emotions of love and peace and joy and patience and kindness to all. And that includes our enemies. That includes the people that persecute us. That includes all your creation, Lord. And Lord, just give us more understanding. And just allow us to walk in your likeness, Lord. To walk in your light, and that light to be revealed through us, Lord. We just thank you for that light, Lord. We thank you for filling us with your love. We thank you for renewing our mind. We thank you for filling us with your faith, Lord. We thank you for just allowing us to see Christ in the mirror and not to see our old flesh. We thank you for all that you're doing in us, Lord. We want to be pleasing to you. We want to love you. And we thank you for just calling us, opening our spiritual eyes, putting in us to see truth, putting in us a deeper revelation of your knowledge. And Lord, if you wouldn't have done that, we wouldn't be where we're at today. We just praise you for that, Lord. And allow us to see others as you see them. Allow us to love others the way you love them. Even our religious family and friends that are caught up in the system, Lord, allow us to love them where they're at and allow them to see the light in us. And we just thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, just bless everybody in the fellowship tonight, Lord. Give them dreams. Give them visions. Give them direction. Guide them, Lord. Direct them to come into more fullness of you, Lord. We just praise you for that. We ask you bless everybody's week, Lord. Just open their spiritual eyes and open up their heart, Lord, for more of you, to walk in more of your love. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, everybody. It's been an awesome night, and we'll see you all next week.